We are really looking forward to Tim coming and sharing in just a moment. But first of all, we're going to invite Fee Skinner to come. And we've got a couple of passages that Fee's going to read for us. So get hold of these words. This is God's word to us today.
Okay, so both of the passages are from Matthew. The first is Matthew 9, 35 to 38. If you want to find that. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." And the second one is still in Matthew, and it is Matthew 11, 25 to 30. It says, "At that time, Jesus said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Thanks, Fee. Good. Going to invite Tim to come and join me. Tim is the coordinator of ministerial formation and he's a tutor in practical theology at Bristol Bible College. Prior to that, he's been in pastoral leadership in churches for 25 years. He's come all the way from Cheltenham. Is that right? Any cheers for Cheltenham?
Yeah.
My daughter's in Cheltenham, so you get a cheer from me,
thank
Tim.
You.
We are so grateful. And probably a final thing to say is that I've really enjoyed getting to know Tim as a friend over the last few years. And we get a coffee every now and again. And I can say with authenticity, we share a longing for God's church in our nation, don't
indeed,
we?
Indeed.
And I've really enjoyed our conversation. So I know you're going to enjoy what Tim has to share this morning. Thanks, Tim, for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you all for the welcome. Really good to be here. And thanks for that reading just now. I'm going to just pray a sentence prayer. We've been praying it all through the service. But Lord, as you spoke those words to disciples a long time ago, open our ears now to hear you say them to us, that we would receive them. Amen. Brilliant. Well, what I'm going to say this morning from those two passages in Matthew chapter 9 and chapter 11, it's for you, Hattie, but it's also for every one of us, because we all need to hear these words of Jesus, I think, regularly. But maybe they're very particularly for you today. In a sense, two things. The call of Jesus, but also the guaranteed help of Jesus. So it's not complicated what I'm going to say. Hopefully I won't be too long. But I just want you all to hear again the call of Jesus here. We didn't start with the earlier verses, but as Jesus was going around all the towns and the villages and the communities, he was looking at people and seeing just how harassed and helpless and broken down people were. How contemporary that could be. They were like sheep without a shepherd, lost. Jesus could tell these things, and he says to those following, the snag is the workers are few. And dare I say that this is exactly the same predicament that we find ourselves in today. Because I have to say, it's been amazing worshipping with you this morning. Big number, feeling the capacity being pushed at the limits here. And I know you go to two Sunday services next week and all of that. But the reality is, that however big the number is in church on a Sunday, the masses outside are in the same boat as Jesus is addressing then and now. Harassed, helpless people, needy with all sorts of needs, broken and fragile, those who've lost our way. And that, of course, is some of us as well. And the reaction Jesus has is most insightful in English in chapter 9, verse 36. He has compassion on them. And I want to really just zoom into that word compassion for 30 seconds or so, because that's the polite way of saying that he's got compassion for these people. We sort of understand the English meaning. But the real meaning of that word used is that Jesus has his guts torn over what's going on. He is broken by the needs all around. Hence why he says what he says. And this physical reaction to what he sees stirs him to action. That's why Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. But he's also calling for this dreadful predicament. Where are the workers? The workers are few. And he sees the predicament and it moves Jesus deeply. And so it's fascinating what he says next in verse 37, 38. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest fields. Many of you know that verse inside out. You know it. You pray. You believe prayer changes things. And I just wanted to put that in focus, that with this immense need, as I look at our country, as probably you do, you watch the news, you read the papers, whatever you do online, and you just see the disintegration of culture. Fragmentation all around. What do we do? Well, we don't get paralyzed with that. We pray. What do we pray for? We're called by Jesus to pray for workers into that harvest field. Hattie, you are an answer to the prayers of these people and many other people, of your family, those over the years who have just been praying for you, and we've prayed again for this next chapter. Brilliant. But God, of course, is asking for workers. And the danger we have with this verse, we think of somebody else. Let's pray for the other person to be the respondee. And Jesus is really driving this point home hard. Pray for workers who will see the needs of people all about and be willing to be sent out in the name and the power of Jesus. For that's precisely what happens then in Matthew chapter 10, which we're not looking at this morning. They get sent out. Commissioned. Just imagine what we're doing in a sense. And I think Matt and others have been very clear about that this morning. What we've done this morning is commissioning Hattie, but actually this is an all people ministry. There is a commissioning for everybody as we follow Christ. The question is, as we follow Christ, it's not just about getting a job or finding a role, whether in the church or in day-to-day life. Let me start with the question, where's the compassion? Where's the level of compassion that is engaging with the people all about? I don't know how you're wired, but I know that in our culture with great oratory, great music, great art, I can be stirred for a moment and then it sort of dissipates. I can sort of cry quite easily with things that I see that break my heart. But Jesus isn't looking here for some short-termism. He wants those who will be workers in this vast harvest field that's just ready to have people engaged in. And Jesus, going deeper here, is talking about that compassion that will make the difference in action. Let me tell you a story from church history. A guy called Hudson is in church one Sunday. And it's a great service. Apparently, it's full of well-meaning, devout Christian people, and others no doubt who were there on that Sunday. But Hudson is stirred. In fact, he's irritated. In fact, he's really angry because he's looking at the mass of people and saying, but hang on a minute, we've got so comfortable here. And yet the vast needs out there, and I tell you what he was looking at, not of Brighton where he was in church that Sunday. He was thinking about the millions of people in China who had never even heard the name of Jesus Christ, had no sense of hope. And the story of his biography tells how he went from that church service onto Brighton Beach and did business with God, moved by compassion, his heart stirred, his guts, as it were, breaking, and said and offered himself to Jesus again, Lord Jesus, take me and use me. 1865. The founding of the China Inland Mission there, Brighton Beach, an available person who prays then for other workers who will leave everything and follow and join. That's a story from church history which just moves me every time I think about it. But one of the problems I think we have, if my analysis is correct, we often feel less compassion for others than we often did or should have. And why? And this is where I see the link with the reading, so well read, by the way, the reading from Matthew chapter 11. Well-known words about Jesus saying, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened." And I think that there's a causal link here that sometimes when we are just absolutely tired, we haven't got any more capacity to do anything or to go anywhere, we find it hard to see the compassion. Where's the compassion gone? We probably even think about it. I wish that I had a sort of dial on my watch or on my phone that I could look and just check my compassion levels at the moment. I think I'd be a bit shocked, actually, and a bit rebuked. I mean, when was the last time I really had my heart broken over a person or over a situation? And this idea that somehow the compassion of Jesus in us, working in us, moves the needle, if there is this dial from, I'm looking at my watch as if it's there, from the red zone, and it so easily just slips back into normality. Hattie, you will be aware that following Jesus close up and working in these harvest fields, as Jesus calls them, plentiful and ripe for harvest, it's incredibly tiring, it's difficult. You know that already. At times it can seem that the number of fellow workers, co-workers, are minimal, they're small. It can feel despondent and burdened by the needs all around. They're so complicated, some of the needs all about. And when that is such coming at us, it's so easy for the compassion dial just to slip back and get stuck. Well, friends, the invitation to Jesus, if that's the call to pray, then there is this amazing invitation to come to Jesus. And to really drive this home point for the next few minutes, just my last bit of the talk really, is Jesus uses an image that would have been familiar to everybody around Galilee as he's talking, because it was really agricultural land then and now, fertile. And he uses this image of the yoke. And I know most of us know what a yoke is. Maybe even some of you are agricultural farmers or whatever else, and you know exactly. I mean, but I'm a townie, all right? And so on holiday a couple of weeks ago, staying on a farm, I got chatting to the farmer. And we were watching the combine harvesters and technology doing amazing things as the harvest was gathered. So I said to Mrs. Farmer, I said, "So what about a yoke? Because I'm reading this thing, I'm preparing," and I was talking about this service that I was thinking about for today. And she said, "I've got one." So I said, "Can I borrow it? Can I get in? That's the question." So this is what she gave me, and it wasn't what I was expecting. I think I was expecting something far more of, well, the one of the animal one, which I'll show you in a minute. But interestingly enough, if I can, how does it go? Oh, the way around, thank you. You can tell I'm a townie. In fact, I've never seen anybody wear one of these at all, ever. But I just thought that visual was helpful for a minute. This idea that when you're carrying heavy loads, whether it be the milk or other stuff, the thought that this piece of wood takes the strain out. I dare say our equivalent would be the modern rucksack. You've got to get the balance and the positioning just right. The technology is amazing, but it can enable you to walk miles with the right rucksack on your back. But this idea of the yoke, as Jesus is using his example of an agricultural implement, it is meant to make the work easier. And whatever you're carrying, silly example, I just thought, this is amazing. You know, there's Jesus growing up in a carpenter's shop. He would have made dozens of yokes like this. There's a legend that has it from church history that over the family business, there was the slogan, the strap line outside the carpenter's shop: "My yoke fits well." I love that thought. The thought that the Jesus yoke from the Jesus carpentry business could be made to measure. And if Jesus is using that picture for them then and for us now, the fact that Jesus has got a yoke that is specifically designed, bespoke for you, for me, the Jesus yoke that will take the strain with the demands of ministry and day-to-day life and service. In the Message paraphrase of these verses, it reads this. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. One of the many pressures felt by the religious people surrounding Jesus at the time, as he spoke these words to them about a yoke, were these onerous expectations on them to carry heavy burdens to fulfill their religious duty within Judaism. The scribes and the Pharisees had loaded demand after demand after demand on them, while themselves not doing a word, not lifting a finger, Matthew 23 tells them and us. Jesus' yoke fits well. His burden is light. Relying on the yoke of Jesus, perfectly shaped for you, Hattie, and for each one of us. But then the farmer, Mrs. Farmer, said to me, I've got another one. I should have taken this out of the box first, probably, but... And this is the one I'd been thinking about, where you get two animals side by side, oxen or whatever, and you put the rope under there that will hold them and keep them on track, and then this one under here, and so you've got two animals side by side. And this key bit of wood that will basically keep them together in cooperation, in harness. Interesting. And that's what Jesus is really saying as he is teaching the people, encouraging the people, inviting the people here. In fact, the farmer I was talking to, she said she doesn't use this, but she breeds lots of dogs. And I could imagine this working. She says, when we're trying to train them in the early days, we put a collar on it. It's nothing like that, but a collar. So that when you're going out into the fields, the older dog collared to the young puppy will train the puppy not just to dart off and do its own thing. And that way they get used to the call. And I thought, this is brilliant discipleship training here. Isn't this is what is happening as in God's family, we get joined to another. We get joined to the body of Christ to learn from those who have more experience. Thank God for the body life of the church for training. But what Jesus is ultimately saying is, get yoked to me. The training of Jesus. The fact that Jesus knows the pace to walk and to proceed. And I, like you and others, will be prone to do our own thing. But no, this binds us back into the partnership to tread the way of Jesus. I don't know if those images added anything, but you get the picture, which for a townie like me is important to remember. That an easy yoke will seem easy to carry. It's made to measure. The burden Jesus talks about is light. And I've tussled with this one a bit in preparing for the last couple of weeks for today, because the reality is any of us who follow Jesus know that the burden actually is incredibly heavy. The demands of Jesus are life, our whole life. So what is it? Is there something what he's saying that the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, that somehow our troubles, our difficulties will seem light in the moment because of Jesus? Perhaps. But then I was thinking about an old hymn, and I'm nearly there, but I just want to mention this old hymn that I haven't sung, I bet it's not sung in any church in the country at all today. George Matheson wrote a hymn, "Make Me a Captive Lord, and Then I Will Be Free." And I think that's what this yoke business is all about. That as we voluntarily sign up to Jesus and become part of the yoke, part of the partnership, with Jesus. Yeah, our culture doesn't like being restricted and tethered. But actually, Matheson discovered a secret that the most freeing place to be is tethered to Jesus. yoked to Jesus. Hence his hymn, which we haven't sung for a long time, but great words. So we're not going to end with that song, all right? But being yoked to Jesus may seem restrictive at times, friends. Young people, as you're getting older, you're looking at your life options. You say, oh, I don't want to have my world brought in. Jesus will expand your world if you allow him to be the yoke that will hold you and train you. That's why I say there's something for everyone this morning. Hattie, for each one of us. The invitation of Jesus to come. Be yoked to him. The demands will be there as we seek to follow Christ. But the training and the presence of his Holy Spirit in that relationship, powerful. And co-working with Jesus, his ability to stir the compassion, if perhaps it's got a bit stuck and a bit dulled. Let's ask Jesus again to raise the compassion, that we'll see the needs around about. The harvest is ready. Work a need locally, globally, in the process. Instead of running off and doing our own thing, that intimate being used with Jesus. And greater freedom than we've ever known. Because as the kitchen above the carpenter shop says, Jesus' yoke fits really well. Pray. Lord Jesus, I want your yoke. And I dare say many in the room today saying the same thing. Lord Jesus, I want your yoke. Please. We want your help to carry the weights of life and to serve you today and into this new week, into the new term. So please train us as we get yoked to you, that we'll know the freedom and the rest that you promise. And praying for Hattie again in these things, that her ministry will be characterized by a Jesus-yoked development that increasingly becomes Jesus and Hattie in harness together. Beautiful and transformational for many, we pray. And if that's for Hattie, I want a bit too, and we all want a bit of just that, for your gentleness and humility and your rest. Thanking you, your yoke fits really well. Amen.
Thank you so much.